Austin Hufford, based in Chicago, reporter for the Wall Street Journal, is in our studio to kind of run through what this infrastructure bill means for us in Illinois, or for that matter, in the USA. Thanks for coming in, Austin. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
So 1.2 trillion is the number we settled on, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's roughly, depending on the different things you take into account, but it's a big deal, you know, no matter what number you end up figuring out.
Spent over what period of time?
I mean, it feels like the bulk of the money is going to be the next 3 to 5 years, is from my understanding. You know, a lot of manufacturers I spoke to, you know, say that they think they'll start seeing higher orders maybe at the second part of next year, and then not until 2023 is when they'll start seeing significantly higher orders, they think.
How does the money get allocated? Who gets the money? What orders get filled?
So it really depends on, it kind of, there's a combination of like grants to states that then they could determine what projects the states need. And so it's kind of interesting where, just because the bill is going to probably be signed into law pretty soon, it kind of just begins the process, because basically all these different states are going to figure out, you know, what infrastructure do we need, what highways, what ports, you know, what should be expanded, what shouldn't be expanded, that sort of thing.
So as we're imagining redoing I-290, the Eisenhower, east and west from Chicago, would ostensibly this money go towards a project
like
that?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, basically it's, a lot of times it's, you know, different municipalities are kind of going to bid for it or submit proposals, and then they're going to see what's happening. I know that a lot of the Chicago area airports, for example, are getting a lot of money too. And like, for example, the Commerce Secretary was just here yesterday in Chicago promoting the bill. And she was talking about how there's going to be money coming directly to this area, to our highways, to our airports here in Chicago.
It all sounds wonderful. I mean, really, there's not a thing on there that I go, oh boy, they shouldn't be doing that. Who doesn't want better roads and bridges and airports and internet? Just highlight for me where some of the money is going.
Yeah, so like $110 billion is going to roads and bridges. So that means it's going to go making them bigger, you know, refurbishing them, making them, you know, just have less potholes. You're going to have $39 billion for public transit. You know, that's things here like the metro system or the CTA.
And again, though, all right, so for the CTA, $39 billion. So say it's rounded up to $50 billion. That's $1 billion per state. Say Illinois gets a couple billion dollars of that. That's back of the envelope math, isn't it? But it's conceivable we get a couple billion of the
right.
39. And then the CTA or Metro, the public authority would then have to decide how to spend that money, right?
Exactly. And people have been planning for this money for a while.
Oh,
right?
So there are maybe ideas in drawers right now waiting for the cash.
Exactly. I mean, for example, you know, like in the West Loop, the Metro, they're going to add a new station there. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of this money might be going there. And so it's like, you know, it's all really complicated. But the point is that all these agencies have spending plans, and it's typically a matching thing. So like you might get 70% federal and 30% local, or maybe it's, you know, there's different ratios. But the point is it's going to end up being more stations, more service. That's the goal anyway. And but the concern is that, you know, labor costs are really high. It costs a lot, you know, lots of things cost money now. And so is it going to be hard to spend as much as we want, basically?
Give me some other areas where the money is going.
Well, they're going to expand Amtrak. You know, in Chicago, we have a lot of connections to Amtrak, and that means you're going to be able to go to more places if you use it.
Is there any high-speed rail money in there?
I think there is some of that, and they're trying to, you know, I think there's kind of a debate happening on whether is the money going to be used for maintenance or is it going to be used to actually increase speeds? And I think it depends because, you know, Amtrak says that they have a lot of spending that is just to make their, you know, they're replacing a bridge built in the 1800s, or a tunnel built in the 1800s, for example. And like Amtrak trains today go through this tunnel that was built in the 1800s. And like here we are in 2021, and, you know, people don't think we necessarily should be in the same
right
tunnel.
So maybe in order to accommodate faster, bigger, better trains, we need that bridge to get fixed or that tunnel to get redone. Wow. Okay.
Even things like the electrical grid, you know, there's going to be, it looks like about $65 billion to make our grid more efficient, to allow us to use different types of renewables. You know, Illinois just passed the big energy bill a few months ago, you know, and that's going to have an impact too.
See, and every time you say something like that, then I immediately go in my mind to what does that mean to us or where is that need? But when you remember what happened, was it this past summer in Houston and how that wiped out the northeast part of the country, the electrical grid just did not seem to be able to accommodate for a storm or some sort of outage. So, okay, good idea. What else are you going to spend?
Well, here in Chicago, there's going to be a lot of replacing the lead pipes. You know, as you know, famously, Chicago has a lot of lead pipes because we didn't stop installing them until much later than other cities, you know, and so we actually have a lot more lead pipes that are still in use today. And so this money is going to kind of speed up efforts to replace them and get rid of them.
I came up in our neighborhood the other day and they said, you know, they may have to replace the lead pipes and that could fall on you, the homeowner, I'm hopeful that there's federal or state money for that rather than me, the homeowner.
Right, right, exactly. I mean, I think there's also a concern, is it going to destroy some of our beautiful trees, you know? But there are ways you could replace the pipes without digging ditches.
Yeah, and or so they have, plant new trees. Right. I mean, pick one. I would go with the pipes. Talk more. What else have you got on your list?
We also have a lot of money for electric vehicles. They're going to have electric vehicle charging stations. You know, if you think about it, when if you buy a new Tesla or whatever, you need more stations and more things that are available for that. Just the infrastructure that, you know, there's gas stations on every corner, but there's not electric vehicle charging
stations. Right, but those gas stations are operated by independent private companies. This is another umbrella idea, and the devil might be in the details. So if we're going to give money to electric vehicles, and that means charging stations, I presume the people going to those charging stations are going to pay for the electricity. Who makes that money? Whose charging station is that? Is it Shell's? Is it the grocery store?
Yes. So I think that the way that typically this works is, like, if you want to run an electric vehicle charging station, you could apply for grants and apply for money that offsets some of your infrastructure investments. And so, like, I was in northern Michigan, and they were literally in the hotel next to me. They were, like, this big lot. They were building a giant electric vehicle charging station. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. And they probably are saying, oh, maybe we get money for this. Maybe there's a way that all this investment can be offset through government funding. But you're right, it is complicated.
In Michigan, of all places, I mean, that's where the gas-powered cars come from. But the big three are transitioning. All of them are transitioning to electric vehicles.
Right. I mean, there are some other interesting things in there, like some of the money has to be spent on American-made goods, you know, which some people, some manufacturers and domestically love, but people say it also could lead to higher-cost products. And there's also some other laws about some of the construction projects are going to have to be funded by union labor. And so, you know, if you're a construction company that doesn't use union labor, you can't really bid for those projects.
Where
so,
else is the money going?
It really, if you think about it, anywhere, if you live about your day, it kind of, you're going to see impact, right? Whether how you commute to work, how you use your cars, how you use your trains, it's going to be kind of everywhere. And another big one is broadband infrastructure.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. So what does that mean?
So people talk about how in rural areas of this country, it's really hard to find high-speed, affordable internet. And during COVID, we've all realized that having the ability to access your Zoom meetings or even access Netflix or your schooling over the internet is really important. And so this money, which I think is tens of billions of dollars, is going to be used to add more broadband to more parts of the country. Like here in Chicago, you know, we have plenty of broadband by and large.
Yeah, you
right?
just said,
like,
it's hard to find high-speed, affordable internet. Is it because here in the Chicagoland area, broadband internet access is taken for granted? People have access. Am I missing something here?
Well, I think it depends, right? If you go downstate, it's harder. You know, I mean, you know, last summer I spoke to some school districts, and they were literally driving around their neighborhood with a Wi-Fi school bus that would come to a specific spot and provide Wi-Fi
really?
To students who were working from home.
A little hot zone out right out
yeah,
of the bus.
Because,
no kidding.
Because, I mean, it's weird to think about. Like, we obviously all have, we watch Netflix every weekend at our homes. But, like, there are people who don't have access to it or don't pay for it. And that's part of what they're talking about here, is trying to say that, how do we make sure that every American has access to high-speed internet?
So I wonder if there's some formula to determine what the best use of these monies is or what the best projects are. I mean, you've been describing trains and bridges and Wi-Fi or the internet, broadband. I wonder, you know, and again, if you live in southern or central Illinois and don't have access to this, then we all should help you with our tax dollars do that, the same way they're helping us with the Eisenhower, even though they may not travel the Eisenhower. So it's a trade. I wonder if there's any scorekeeping, what the fairest or most balanced use of $1.2 trillion is.
I mean, I think part of the concern with these kinds of bills is that you spend it now, or you put into law now, and then you spend it over the next 5 years, right? And the question is, if technology improves, like, for example, you know, one of Elon Musk's companies is doing satellite, really high-speed satellite internet called Starlink. And so are we going to spend $65 billion or whatever broadband, and then we're going to come out with high-speed satellite internet, and that's going to kind of all
make it obtuse.
Make it obsolete.
Yeah.
Right. And so, but that's kind of always the balance here.
Yeah, is anticipating that. Well, we don't want to build a bridge to nowhere or an airport with no airplanes, and we've done that before, too. But that was pork, really. I suppose this will be susceptible to that as well.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of giving and taking over the next few years, right? I mean, right now, the bill is going to be signed into law, you know, they think, in the next few weeks. And then that's kind of when the debate happens, is that basically companies, states, cities are going to be all pushing for this money to make sure that they get it. I mean, I think I saw something that even something like if you commute by bike, you might be able to get some money. You get like a tax credit or something.
I think we should spend the $1 trillion on bike lanes. $1 trillion on bike lanes. We'll be the Netherlands of the Netherlands, because I'm an advocate for that. But it's just not safe to do it in Chicago, in my estimation. You live in the city. And I think it became rather acute actually during the pandemic, because there were fewer cars. So suddenly you saw bicycles and literally unicycles, motorized scooters, divvies, all kinds of things taking up the road, sharing the space. Now the cars are back to some degree. And I just don't think it's as safe a commute for a city as great as Chicago can be.
Right. I mean, even speaking personally, like I could, from Wrigleyville downtown, I could ride along the Lakefront Trail, you know, and there's a really safe bike lane. But otherwise, it's really hard. Or even if I can't even go up to Evanston, there's not really a protected bike lane if I want to go up to see Northwestern.
If you want to ride your bicycle downtown, and maybe you're saying to yourself you shouldn't be, but actually maybe you should be, I don't think it's a safe downtown to drive. And you're there with the CTA buses downtown. 630 said this is a $1.2 trillion bill. Why is $100 billion marked for infrastructure? So where does the other $1.1 trillion go? It's an interesting question. If we said $100 billion is for infrastructure, did we say that? And then where does the balance go?
I'm not fully sure where that $100 million is coming from. I mean, it depends how you think about infrastructure, right? Like, basically, I think they're probably referring to, like, $110 billion is roads and bridges. And so that's how you think about infrastructure. But I think you also say that public transit, paying for the CTA, that's also infrastructure, right? Maybe broadband, that's infrastructure. Water pipes is infrastructure. So like only $110 billion is like highways. But I think it's increasingly clear that most Americans don't view highways as the only form of infrastructure we could be investing in.
Well, if that's the way we used to get to work on the Eisenhower, another way to get to work is sitting at home with broadband. Mm-hmm. So that's a new kind of infrastructure, right, isn't it? How are we going to pay for this?
I mean, some of it's from the COVID relief bill. Some of it is kind of like there's different ways of trying to do it. There's some taxes too. You know, I think there's some a small tax on the stock buybacks. You know, there's just different ways they're trying to pay for it.
But they didn't jack up the corporate tax rate or the rate on high wage earners yet.
I don't think that ended up in the final bill.
So is this a bipartisan bill?
It had the support of some Republican House members. That I think it was like 16 of them who ended up voting for it. The vast majority of Republicans opposed it, but without those 16, the bill would not have passed. And so,
yeah, I just, this will sound partisan, I guess it is, but if you don't want the money, you don't have to take it. If you think this is money poorly spent, then don't take it. But it seems to me like a good idea if I only look at what we're going to get for it. But I do worry when they say, well, it's the COVID relief bill, like that fell from the sky. However, are we going to pay for all of these things? Where does that money come from that we don't saddle our grandkids with that, right?
Right. I mean, and part of the idea is that, you know, could this bill spur economic growth? Could the, you know, because part of it is true is that we haven't had this sort of infrastructure spending probably since the last Great Recession, 2007, 2008, you know, so like companies, manufacturers, engineers have been calling for this type of spending for a long time. But I think you're right. I mean, there is obviously always the concerns over our debt and deficit, and there is a point where that isn't sustainable.
You'll have to come into our studio again. Austin Hufford is a reporter for the Wall Street Journal, writing about the infrastructure bill here in Chicago. Thanks for visiting with us today.
Thanks so much.